Thank you, Father, for an outpouring of joy, God, a door, an open door that we are able to boldly walk in and experience your joy, your happiness. God, we have a happy Father, and his children are happy. So we just thank you, God, that no matter what, we are filled with the joy of the Lord. And it is our strength. It is our strength. It makes the world wonder. It makes the world wonder because we have joy in the midst of pain. We have joy in the midst of suffering. So we just thank you, God, for that joy tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys got me tonight. My parents are on their way back, I promise. They did come back. You guys saw them in the flesh. They'll be back Sunday. And I got the opportunity to be able to speak, and I'm really excited about it. We are doing, first of all, before I start, let me get to the announcements. I'm usually the announcement pusher. Like, you got to talk about this, and you got to talk about that. But now I get to do it. Has everyone heard about the regional prayer meeting that's going on Saturday? Very, very cool. It's sponsored by Alpha. So Alpha is all over the place. It's really a huge organization. And the guy that's in charge of Alpha, Bruce Farley, is amazing. He's just so on fire for God, and he loves people. And so he wanted us to see if our church wanted to be involved. And my dad was like, yeah, hello, let's do this. You know, we have an opportunity to just unite with all the Christians all over northeastern Ohio. And so it's this Saturday night. If you want to go, it's at Grace Church in Middleburg Heights, and it's from 7 to 9. They're going to have worship by His Name High, some other things. They're going to have prayer by different leaders and things like that. So if you need information, it's on Facebook. There's flyers. Oh, it's on screens. So if you want to go, head out that way. He's expecting to have like about 1,000 people there. So it's going to be a really cool night. So you want to do that. Also, Women's Replenish. Does anybody go to that in here? Those ladies are so in love with Jesus. Well, every year they do an all-nighter, and they're doing an all-nighter again on January 31st. So it starts at 10 o'clock. So you got to be brave because it goes all the way to 6 o'clock in the morning. But you don't have to be like up and chipper all night. You can just kind of hang out and soak. You know, it's a soaking night. So that is actually in Avon at the... I'm not even going to try to that one karate kind of, yeah, chutubu. I can never say it. Did I say it right? Yeah. For information, Sue Jordan or Kristen, they'll both be here on Sunday. Sozo, by the way, isn't this scarf really cute? Deb, one of the ladies that volunteers in the office, she made this for me today. And so I thought about her because today, thank you, Deb, if you're watching online. Today, we had our phones ringing nonstop for the Sozo class. Nonstop. It's amazing. We've had people calling from Kentucky, from Michigan, from Pennsylvania. Like, this thing is like liquid gold right now. People are so hungry to learn how to set people free, to learn how to be healed, to learn how to be delivered. And so if you haven't, I'm not trying to threaten you. I mean, there's openings. We will make space for you. But I'm just excited. I'm excited that there's so much passion behind this. I'm excited that there's so much fire behind it. So we get to have it in our own church, and we get to be here and learn about it. And everyone that's going through it, to be in the ministry of it, we're going to be touched. We're going to be blessed. And so that's really, really exciting. So if you haven't signed up, call me in the morning and we'll sign you up. It's $35. Also, the bus for the Bethel Akron trip. My dad talked about it on Sunday, and I kind of messed up. I took the clipboards and put them in my office. So the clipboards weren't out there on Sunday. So if you really want to go, they're out there now. Sign up, and we're going to get a bus. We've already had probably about 60 people from Valley View sign up. So we're going to be taking two buses for sure. We're just asking for $5 to try to cover the cost. But if you can't pay for it, I'm sure he's going to let you on the bus. But it'll be cool. We're going to have a great service together with the Bethel Cleveland people. So that's about it. And now I guess we're just going to start the message. And a lot of you in the last month or so heard about us talking about LPD, which is the Leadership Development Course, and it's through Global Legacy. And we're doing that kind of to get some core leaders ready for revival, right? all of us need to be ready for revival because it's coming. It's here. And we need to know what to do with it. We need to know how to operate in this revival. And I don't think it's fair that if you have not signed up for global leadership classes, that you don't know the information, right? I mean, that's not fair. We're not trying to hide it or hoard it. So I'm really just going to talk to you about what I've learned this month and talk to you about what I feel the Holy Spirit is doing first to get us ready, kind of building a framework for this revival that's coming, that's already on its way. So we're just going to talk about that a little bit tonight. It's going to be called Heaven's Government, if you need a title. And some of you that have already listened to the message, please don't critique me too much, because I'm definitely not Paul Manwaring. But I also just felt the Holy Spirit wanting to talk about a couple other things, too. So we'll see where he goes and where he takes us. And I don't have my phone, so I'm depending on that clock back there. So dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, God, that you are so good. Can't stop telling you how good you are and how amazing you are and how wonderful it is to be in love with you and how wonderful it is to be your daughter. And I just pray tonight, God, that you would take over, that you would establish your words in this room tonight, and that it would be exactly what each person here needs to hear and meets them where they're at, Father. And I just thank you, God, for the opportunity to hear your voice and to understand that your word is alive and that you're doing something amazing and great in this region. In Jesus' name, amen. There's been so many words given for the Cleveland area, and it's not just our church. You know, for so many years, I thought it was just our church. Like, we had this amazing church, and it was like, wow, we're going to have revival. But it's not just our church. It's literally, like, people are saying, yeah, Cleveland area. Like, yeah, somewhere in Ohio. Yeah, like, it's Cleveland. Like, somewhere there. I mean, it's just, it's like almost internationally known that something's happening in Cleveland or is going to happen in Cleveland. And so the revival is coming, and it is here. And what I think is really, really cool is that the reason I know that and the reason I think you know that is because we're beginning to understand that we're empowered to bring it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we have the ability to make his kingdom move on the earth, but I'm saying that he's given us the kingdom, and we have been mandated to go establish and set it up for him. Jesus said that's who we were. Jesus said that's what we would do. And so when we begin to understand that we're empowered to make this revival happen, to bring it, then wow, what are we going to not do that? Of course not. It might take us a little bit of time to understand and to get it, and we might have to go over our notes over and over again. We might need to hear it a few more times. That's okay. God's not worried. He's not getting impatient. He knows when it's going to happen. He knows when we're going to get bold enough, when we're going to get tired of living in the ugh. He knows. So he's not worried. When we get it, it's going to explode, and it's going to change the world as we know it. It's going to happen. And so it is happening. But I believe that what we're going to talk about tonight and what we started off in the Global Legacy or the LPD is so important. But yet when I say it, you're going to be like, really? Because it doesn't seem that big of a deal. It doesn't seem like it's a blow your mind message, like, wow, that was a good word. It seems too simple. But here's the thing, it is simple. It's that simple. And if we skip over it, and if we take it like, oh, that's so cute, Mary, you're so cute. You know, if you take that attitude, then we're going to miss it. And it's going to go, shoop. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to be the other church that sees it happen. And we're not going to let that happen, right? We're going to be a part of this. We want to be a part of this. Like, I don't want to miss out on anything cool happening with God. Nothing. So we've been empowered to make this. Now, this framework, this structure, is Heaven's Government. If you want to set up a kingdom, what do you go in and take over first? The government, right? Like, you have to set up a government to establish a society or to create a kingdom. So heaven's government has to be set up here for the revival so that we have a place to put them. We have a place to put the people that are coming in. We have order. We have structure. We have a framework. In Psalms 68:6, I love the scripture verse. It says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. Where is he setting the lonely? In families. Our families have to be ready. Our church family has to be ready. The family of God has to be ready to accept the lonely, to get the unloved, to pick them up off the street, to deal with their bad attitudes, to love them, to disciple them. The prisoners, he's leading them out. Where's he leading them to? They're going somewhere. They're going to the framework that he set up, heaven's government. Heaven's government, they're going there. So when I was praying about this, and I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me this picture, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm just going to say it, and if it makes sense to somebody, come up and tell me afterwards. But when I thought about this framework, I saw like a little honeycomb kind of structure or framework thing. And it was like God was able, when we had built the honeycomb the right way, God was able to take the lonely and set them right there. He was able to take the prisoner and lead him right in, right, you fit right there. And unless that structure is fit and created and there's places for them, then what are we going to do with the people that come to know Jesus? You know, we got it. We have to be ready. We have to be ready. And so that's why it's so important to talk about this. And I believe that heaven's government is family. It is family. Because he represents the best family anyone could ever even imagine in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Heaven's government is relational. And it's funny, that word relational. You know, I remember through the years talking about, well, they're just relational people. You know, they're just relational people. Like, that was a bad thing. Like, what is my problem? I had some problems, right? Because I thought, well, they're just relational people. They need so much time with people. That he's restructuring my thinking. He's like erasing things and going, I kind of wanted it to be like that the whole time, you know? And so I'm like, oh. When I understood that his government was relational, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. We're supposed to be relational because he is. So think about it. This kingdom, you were not introduced to a president, right? Like, think about it. It could have been God the president or God the emperor, right? God the emperor. It's not that. It's natural to us because when we were little, we understood that he's the Father, right? Or let's think about, he's not a dictator. He doesn't make us obey, but he's our Father. He's our Father. He set up his whole system, his whole universe, all of his laws of nature, all of the principles, everything that we understand in the universe, everything that scientists study. It's all from a Father. It's all given from a Father. Here's another piece that proves that it's relational. It all ends in a wedding. It all ends with a wedding. Isn't that hilarious? You never think about it? Like, a bride gets married to a groom, and then it's a big party for the rest of eternity. It's relational. This is all about our family. This is all about him and his family. The marriage supper of the Lamb. It ends in a wedding. And then the eternal party, eternal wedding reception begins with a party. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit represented the most perfect love They represent the most perfect love. You can't get a better love. You can't get a better union. They work together perfectly. They love each other perfectly. They honor one another perfectly. There is no flaw in them. They're not jealous. They're not competitive. They love each other. They are for each other. And this is the thing. They created us together. They created us together because they wanted us. They wanted to create children. And what is one of the first things they said about us? In Genesis 1:26, they said, "Let's make human beings like us." Yeah, in our image. So that when people look at them, they look like us. They see us. And when they go and they do things like us. So now we take a step back and we again think about the character of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in that perfect union. What are we supposed to be like? We're supposed to have that perfect love connection between each other. We're supposed to have that unity with one another, that love, that I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you say about me. I love you. And I'm not trying. I don't have to try really hard because I love you. He wants us to look like that. He wants us to represent that. So the first part of it, made in our image, reminds us of who we are. And that is our identity piece. We all need that. When all of us are 95 in here, we're going to still have to go over our identity. Just letting you know that. Until we get to heaven, we're going to have to always remind ourselves whose we are. It's just something that we're going to always work on. It'll probably get easier. But that's the identity piece. But in our likeness, I believe, is the mandate to be a reflection of this perfect union and that family here on earth. We are to be like them. We are to be like them. We're to be like them. We're supposed to love like them. To create together like them. Doesn't sound too simple anymore, does it? The family thing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Heaven's government is amazing. And I want to talk a little bit about our responsibility to reflect. Because that's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility because we're made in his image. It gives us the ability to bring the government of heaven into our relationships and community. We have that ability. First of all, we just need to stand in awe of that right now. You know what I mean? That we have the ability to bring heaven wherever we are because we're made in his image. So we can set up the government of heaven in our families. That means your families don't have to be completely saved. You have the authority to set up the government of heaven in your household. Yes. And see salvation come. That's what the kingdom is all about. He's given us that authority. It's huge. We're part of something huge. There is enough of us in here to do this in like the next month. Right. Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. You're awesome, Terrence, right? We get to set up and build the structure of revival. That's what we get to do together. And guess what? This revival is lasting. You know, throughout history, you can read about all the revivals that have come, and they're amazing. There's no top on that. And they're amazing, and you read them in the history books, and you go visit the gravestones, and they're so awesome. But guess what? They died. They stopped. At some point, they stopped. Do you want to know my opinion? I'm going to tell you anyways. Because it wasn't built in the right structure. They tried. They tried. They didn't have the same information we have. It's because God's poured out this new revelation for this end time revival that's not going to stop. It's a family revival that our children are going to be so in love with Him. They're going to know who they are at a very young age. That people in here that aren't even biological families are going to line up under mothers and fathers. And they're going to take their place as sons and daughters. And they're going to be obedient. Oh my gosh. They're going to be obedient under love. We're going to love each other so much. We're going to work together. And it's going to spread. It's going to spread to our children. It's not going to drop off. It's not going to stop. This revival is going to last. It's the end time one. So this reflection goes both ways. I talked a little bit about it, but it goes horizontally towards the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So people watch me have my relationship with the Father. They watch me. And they see the kind of love I can get from Him every day. And they see the kind of love I can give away because I've been with Him every day. And they're like, wow, I want that. And the world sees it and they want it. So it goes vertically, but it also goes horizontally. The world sees me love Hannah. And they're like, Hannah, who is that? Why do you hang out with her? Now, this didn't happen. I'm just picking on Hannah. Why do you hang out with her? She's old. But then they understand that there's a different relationship here. I love Hannah. I call out the gifts in Hannah. I see greatness in Hannah. I protect Hannah in my prayers. And they're going to go, wait a minute. I don't have that kind of relationship. They're going to want what we have. They're going to want what we have. Right? Right. So it goes horizontally. Our reflection goes both ways. Now, Adam in the garden, he was the first one. He was the first son. And he kind of messed up, right? We know Adam messed up. And this whole love story is about God fixing Adam's mistake. But when we think about that and we think about how God sent Jesus, Jesus did it perfectly. He reflected His relationship with the Father so perfectly. So perfectly. Look what He did. He didn't even hold he did hold meetings, but that was because they chased Him down. He discipled 12 people, but that revival never stopped. His legacy never stopped, and it never will stop. That reflection from God the Father was perfect. That relationship with His disciples was perfect. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we're shooting for. And that's what we are able to do. Perfectly at first? Probably not. But you know what? He lives inside of us. So with Him, filled with His Spirit, we can. We can do it. Jesus showed us perfectly how a son loves a father. And He showed us a reflection of God's love perfectly. You know, it's all about love. It's all about love. It's all about love. That's all I can talk about every day. It's all about love. Every day on Twitter, I do something about love. Jeremiah, it's about love. Haiti. It's about love, Lorraine. It's about love, Cleveland. It's about love, your college. It's about love, your friends. That's it. There is nothing we can tell anybody outside of love that's going to cause them to come to the Father. There's nothing. You're not going to scare them into coming and joining your thing. It's just not going to happen. It's all about love. It's all about love. And this is such an important thing because, again, a simple message. And a lot of times we just go, oh, I got that a long time ago. You know, Jesus loves all little children. You don't need to tell me that, Mary. You know, come on. But do we have it? Do we really have it? Do we really walk in his love every day? Do we really even know what it looks like? Do we know what his love looks like? We think we do. But the crazy thing is that his love has to go through the filter of our lives. Like what we know of love, how do we accept love outside of that? Unless it's a miracle. And miracles do happen. But we recognize love based on what we've known from love, the way we've experienced love. Has anybody in here heard of the Father Ladder tool? Lana has. A couple of you have? Amazing. 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 It's a Father Ladder. It's basically talks and explains and teaches you that the way you represent or you relate to Father God's love is the way that you related to your earthly father's love. And the way that you relate to Holy Spirit has a lot to do with your relationship with your mother. And the way you relate to Jesus has a lot to do with your relationship with your peers or your siblings. And it goes so deep, we're not going to talk a lot about it tonight, nor am I qualified to talk about it. But I can help you get information, and a lot of it will be talked about in the Sozo classes as well. But it's amazing. It's amazing. And I don't care how amazing your father was, you still need to go there. Because my dad is pretty amazing, right? And he's for real. Like when he goes home, he's still pretty amazing. It's not a show. But I still had to look at him. I still had to understand his love doesn't have any flaws. His love is perfect. And there were still some things, you know, that we had to get cleaned up between me and Holy Spirit and Father. And that's just the way it is, because there's no perfect fathers. But it's so important, because if we don't recognize his love, we can't be a son. We can't be experience and have and receive the love of a father. Romans 8:15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. I had such a hard time with that word, Abba. For such a long time. It's a hard word. Because you know what it means? It means daddy. How many of you are comfortable calling God daddy? See, you are way bigger than me. Because I still am not. I can call him Abba now. I'm really comfortable with Abba. But, and I call my dad dad. It's not like, you know. It's just, there was this thing. Okay, you're not. Come on, you're not that gushy in love. Come on, you're on a white concrete throne. And I only ever see your feet, right? And that's part of that father ladder thing. They take you into the throne room and they go, okay, what do you see? I see some big concrete toes, you know, and I'm really scared and I don't want to move and I'm cold. Yeah, so it's just really, really cool. You got to go there. I don't know. We didn't communicate today, Judy. No, yes. You totally are fine, whatever you want to do. You could take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or nothing. You just tell me. It's up to you. No, next time? Okay, next time. That's totally fine, totally fine. I left my phone at home, so I was going to text you earlier, but no big deal. But Judy's amazing. She's been in our lives since I was a little girl, and I've always loved you, Judy. I've always loved you. And God is doing such an amazing work in her life. And she is ready to just bring a boatload of people on her highway that she's building. She is. And I'm excited. I'm excited. But my experience with the throne room, are you sure? Come on. I do. I can't help it. Anybody that knows her understands me. I mean, you just can't help it. She's so sweet. Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can.
Okay, when she first asked me to do this, I thought, oh, heck no. You know why? Because I'm not good in front of people. Even when I was in college in my communications class, when I would have to get up there, and look at me, I'm a bold person. Yes. Okay, here's what she asked me. Would you like to go up there and just let the church know your brothers and sisters? You guys are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all family, like she said. Nothing to fear. Okay, so I looked at God. I've been going through some things lately. Nancy, I love you. Been there for me too. And where I really related, I always loved God. Oh my goodness, do I love God. And he knows that. But when I did things wrong, I always thought that my name was written in the Lamb's book. It was taken out. It was written. It was taken out. And or God was mad at me. Oh, God, you love me. I became one of those, what do you call it, schizophrenic Christians? How many can relate to that? And that was because I didn't grow up in a family like the Brady Bunch where we all hugged and loved and did all these cutesy little things. My memories weren't so good. And I grew up in an orphanage. And there was a lot of painful memories. And God's still working a lot of those things out in me. And I love him so much because he takes his time with each and every one of us. Some he moves a little bit quicker because he knows they have that strength in them. And the thing that gets me through it is that I have a lot of amazing kids. And I have an amazing family. And Mary, I love you so much because you stuck by me through the darkest hours of my entire life. And God knows what we need when we need him. But what I wanted to say and why she asked me to do this was because you relate sometimes what you went through with your father on earth, you relate to God like that. You think, oh, if my father, my earthly father, could say those things to me or did those, then maybe God thinks of me like that. And so now God has taken me through this whole thing where he's working out these things. No, Judy, I'm not like that. And I love you so much, and no matter what you've done, it's all but the enemy. But what we have is, I mean, if I never believed in God and the enemy, and I call him the enemy, I don't even use Satan, or I call him my enemy because of what he's done. And if I never believed in angels and demons, I do now. I absolutely do now because of what I went through. But God has taken me through this thing, like she said, this path. And he's showing me some things that are so unbelievable that it's mind-boggling. And when, like she said, when he gets done with me, whoa, you watch out, enemy. You watch out. Because I'm going to do some destruction to your kingdom. Because there's a lot of people living in darkness. A lot of people, like she said, this Lorraine is so ripe for revival. And there are so many people that are out there that are suffering and in darkness. And the world likes to claim them bipolar. And we like to give them their medicine so that they just stay in the darkness. But God is saying, no, I'm bringing you out of there. And I'm going to raise up a standard of people in this church. And if he had to do it to me and let me go through a little bit of what people go through, then so be it. But why did I get into all that? I wanted to tell you what I believe, that even regardless of what I went through with my earthly father, that God is showing me that, no, Judy, like she said, his love is so amazing, so amazing. And I thank God every day that he brought me to this church with all you amazing brothers and sisters. And I love all you guys. I've been in this church ever since, what, 83? Since you guys were little. And I love all of you guys. And thank you. Thank you. I love you.
So she's had to go there, you know, she's had to go there, but she is winning for not only her, she's winning for the revival that's going to follow her. And she's already, and this is what the coolest thing is, like, you don't have to be perfect. Like, you don't have to be done. Like you said, you're still going through some stuff. You're still gaining your strength. You've been delivered. You're free, but you're still gaining your strength against the lies. You know, the one that, well, you're not really, but I still have you here. No, no. She's gaining her strength, but she's not letting that slow her down. She still goes out during the day and says, Holy Spirit, who am I ministering to today? Who am I touching today? And she still brings them out. And so that's who we are. We're not going to be perfect right now. It's okay. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be the perfect speaker to be up here and talking to you. And you know what? I'm not even going to cry because I'm nervous. I told the enemy today, leave me alone. Wait a minute. Come back and take these nerves because they're not from God. I haven't been given that spirit. Right? I haven't been given that spirit. And I just want to be obedient. I just want to be obedient. So let's move on because I know I'm taking too long. So we have, and I was going to share a little bit about my experience with the throne room, was that cold, dark throne. And I asked God in one of the soaking sessions, I said, can you erase that? Because I don't want to meet you in that cold. I don't want to just see your feet. Like, I never saw past his knees. And I thought, can you give me something else? And I was sitting right, laying right over there. And all of a sudden, like, I saw this. I love being outside. If you don't know me, like, I go rollerblading and walking and running and hiking. And I just love being outside. So that's where me and Jesus hang out, is on the trail. And so all of a sudden, I see this meadow. And I'm walking in the meadow. And I see the Father. And he's, like, running towards me. And it's kind of corny at the same time because I'm not really like this gooey person, but I went with it because I knew it was him. And so we're like holding hands and walking in the meadow and I'm like, wow. So that's now what I see when I have my throne room experience. My memory is a meadow. And, you know, we all question those things. We all go, okay, God, was that my imagination? Did I make that happen? And I said, why a meadow? Because that's not even close to a throne room. This was just yesterday. Like, why a meadow? And he goes, Mary, don't you remember the scripture verse? Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. I'm like, oh, that's right. But wait a minute. If it was the throne room, wouldn't I be in heaven then? He's like, well, didn't you start at my feet? That would be it on earth in the meadow, right? But the coolest thing about God is that he came down and he met me where I could handle it, at his footstool. At his footstool. He's so amazing. He doesn't wait for us to grow up to be intimate with us. He doesn't wait for us to get it, you know? Because gosh, if he did, I'd be dead because I've been a Christian for 35 years. And if I've gotten this far, it's like, okay. Anyways. So I just wanted to share that too. So we have to recognize his love. That's step number one. Step number two is to grow in this love. We have to have the ability to receive. We talked about that and how there's cloudiness that clouds that ability to receive his love. It's dependent on being a son. We have to learn how to be a good son or daughter. We have to learn how to position ourselves to be a daughter. I just want to be your daughter. I just want to be your son. And that's a big deal, and I think we don't realize it's a big deal, but there's a lot, and I know you've heard Troy talk about this. You've heard Pastor talk about this and things out in internet Christian land. I mean, you've heard a lot about the orphan spirit lately. It's because that's what God's doing. He's trying to get those that have been in the kingdom for so many years but are still orphans. He's trying to get them to be sons. He's trying to say, wait a minute, you're not an orphan. You're not just rescued from hell. You are my child. You are my son. We are going to hang out. We're going to go do stuff together. We're going to go like change the city. We're going to go like heal this person together. We're going to do all these things. And then we're going to go play basketball. Like, that's how amazing he is. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be sons and daughters. That's who he is. We have got to retrain ourselves. We've got to learn. We've got to sit there and stay there until we become sons and daughters, period. That's who we are. And then there's this other thing, this inability to receive called the elder brother syndrome. Anybody hear that? Hear about that? There was an elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, and he had a problem. He had a problem. He was so frustrated because he lived in his father's house, but he didn't know his dad. So the elder brother syndrome, we have to guard against that, because every single one of us are in danger of being an elder brother. Every single one of us. Because the moment we let that intimacy get away, oh my gosh, elder brother syndrome creeps in. That the moment, like, you could go like a couple days and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, am I an elder brother? Because something will happen and you'll react as an elder brother. We have to be careful. We have to be careful, because that does not attract the world. That does not attract the world. It actually repels our kids. Our kids can't handle elder brother syndrome. So we have to be really careful. And the only thing, this is the cool part, the thing that protects us from that is intimacy. It's intimacy. Now, I have two little kids again, and I now remember the mother struggle with devotions. Like, that was my biggest struggle. And back then, there was not grace like there is today. So if you didn't put your time in, are you saved? If you didn't put your devotion time in, I don't think you're saved. Exactly. So I remember, April, remember we would talk to Mom about this? Like, Mom, I think it's... I can't read my Bible. I can't. Like, I just can't. They're up all the time and they're running in the house and it's messy and I'm feeding them in diapers and blah. And she's like, Mary, it's just a season of your life. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, and that's, again, why mothers are so important. But that intimate place is worth it. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, right, Lika? If it's 5 minutes, that 5 minutes, he can do so much. He can do so much. All he has to do is tell you one little word. That word can take you so far. Just protect your intimacy. Just protect your intimacy. And you won't be an elder brother. And you won't be an orphan. You'll understand who your father is. And you will be able to show, just like Jesus did, he displayed how a son loves a father and how a father loves a son. We will show the world how a daughter loves a father, and how a father loves a daughter. We'll show the world that. And our ability to release. When we've been fathered well, we can be great fathers. When we've been mothered well, we can be great mothers, right? That's the best teacher. You know, I'm kind of new to the foster care system, and my heart breaks. Because usually, the kids that are in foster care, their moms were in foster care. Their moms were in foster care. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, but it's the cycle. And he broke that cycle. Jesus broke that cycle. So we can father and mother well. We can love those under us that need our encouragement, that need our love, that need our support, that need our arm. Come here. Sometimes you just need to give someone a hug. Remember, we were talking about that today. You just need to give somebody a hug. That's all they need. They don't need you to tell them what to do. They don't need all that. They just need you to love them. They just need you to love them. So after we've been filled up, it's easy to be emptied out, and that's what Jesus did. The last thing, and I'm going to wrap it up, is love serves. The roles of mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, are returning to the church. They've never completely been gone. a lot of people are still great fathers of ministries, and I mean, people still look up to people as mothers and daughters. I'm not saying it's totally gone, but I think for the most part, it became a title, and it became a position as a father instead of a relationship. And I think that we're going to find those relationships again. Like, for a while, I was too timid and not confident in myself enough to realize that I'm a mother to some. Not to my biological kids, but to some of you guys. I'm willing to mother you now because I love you. And I realize that He's put something in me for you. And so now, every once in a while, I'll just send a text. This morning, I sent a text to someone, and I just said, you know what, God gave me a word for you. And I hope that was Him. I don't know. She said it was, but but it's not motivated out of my hearing from Him. I know that sounds weird. It's motivated out of my love for them and my ability to just cover them and to think about them and to just pray for them. So think about that. What role are you? First of all, you have to be a good son or daughter in order to be a mother or father. Don't try to be a mother or father until you're able to be a son or daughter. But you need to take a role. All of us in here, we need to take a role of one of those. And we need to have healthy peers. Like, we should be able to encourage each other, right? And not be competitive and not just be like, oh, so annoyed right now. It's horrible, but a church office is like the hardest place to be happy sometimes. Because you get calls that are just so needy. Like, I love people. I do. I love people. But it's worse than a flight attendant, April. I'm telling you. When you've been on an airplane for 8 hours, like, I experienced that too, where they're like, I want a pillow. I want something to drink. Can I sit back here? And it's like, oh my gosh. It's like that. Like, I need money, and I need this, and I need that, and you didn't call me. And I'm like, oh. But when we're able to love and we're able to just slow down, and today I did it, and I really worked hard at it. I slowed down and I talked to a person that called about Sozo, and I think they were in Kentucky or something. Or no, her husband didn't want her to go because she lives 3 hours away. Anyways, and we prayed for each other and we just talked for a while, and I was like, man, this is how it's supposed to be. Man, I'm in the best place to work. What am I getting frustrated for? I don't have a boss breathing down my neck. I mean, that's what I get paid to do. And what's wrong with me? I just need to be connected with this love. It happens all the time. And if you guys are honest, it happens to you too. Right? It's because it's got to be so relational. It's got to be so constant, so real, so ooey gooey. Like, Troy, we have to be okay with the ooey gooey. Yeah. And you know it, because you know it. Like, you got to be okay with that. And some people, it's not just our personality, right? Especially if you grew up in Lorraine. But you know what? It's okay. Because once you get in that father's love long enough, you're okay with it. Okay, so characteristics of these roles. How do these relationships look like? What do they look like? I have to give you practical. It'll take 2 minutes, but just listen really quickly. Unity. We have got to have unity. We have got to be together. I don't care if I don't get to talk to you for more than 2 minutes in a month. I am with you. I love you. I'm with you. Whatever you're going through, I'm going through. Whatever you're doing, I'm doing. I might not be physically present, but I'm with you. We have got to be that unified. We have got to be that together. Really quick, honor. That word is so difficult to understand. Like, what does honor look like today in 2014? Honor. Good stuff. Treating someone like you want to be treated. Better than you want to be treated. Right? Honoring each other. Understanding each other when they're in a bad mood. When they're grouchy. When they're going through father issues. Understanding, loving them, long suffering when those phone calls come. No, just kidding. Kindness, humility, preferring to one another, goodness, love, encouragement, not because they deserve it. Not because they deserve it. It's because of who you are. It's because he did it. It's because he was our model, and now he tells us to do it. It's because we love him, and we want to be like him. That's why. This is a multi-generational revival, and it's not just the fact that we're going to have kids like Caden and Creed healing the sick. I mean, that is going to happen. That's one definition of multi-generational revival. And we're going to have mothers and fathers, and grandmas and grandpas, going in and emptying hospital floors. We're going to see all that. But multi-generational in the fact that Abella is going to be so on fire for God when she's 30. You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna last to the next generation and the next generation and her grandkids. And it's going to happen that way because we have learned how to form relationships. In John 17, 22 and 23, Jesus was speaking to the Father. And this pretty much sums it up. He says, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. We are carrying that glory in our relationships. We carry the very glory of God in our love for each other, in our friendships. And I am so learning this right in this moment. I hope you guys understand that, like today on the phone, you know, with my own family. Oh my gosh. If we all do this together, man, that framework is going to be built and set up and strong. And we're going to have a place for the lonely. We're going to have a place for the prisoner when they come back, when they come in. Because we're going to have so much love. And it's all going to be ready for this revival. And I believe that's why that's the first piece to this puzzle, is that we have to become relational. We have to become that family that God has already set up for us and poured his glory into. I think that's it. I believe, okay. So imagine a community, and I'll close with this, that how can I serve you? How can I love you? How can I build you up? How can I make you feel honored? How can I make you feel important? And we have got the best church to start this in. We have got the best church to be that in, because we already have a history of love. We already have the foundation. This book kind of goes along with that father thing that we were talking about. And I like to read, but this book I didn't put down. It's called Experiencing Father's Embrace, and there is some in the bookstore, and it's $14. This book is amazing. I think everybody should read it. Every single person on earth should read this book. So if you feel anything that the Holy Spirit was saying to you about the father relationship, or just want to know more what I was talking about, that book is something to read. Or the Sozo class, that they'll go into more depth about all of that. But can I pray with you? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, that you're so alive in us. You're so alive in this ministry, in this region, Father. And I just am so proud, God, to be your daughter. I'm so proud, God, that I can just be with you and experience your presence and your grace every moment, every day. I pray, God, for an outpouring of your love in this place. I pray, God, that you would begin to speak to individuals in this room, God, and let them hear and understand what you want them to hear and understand from this message. God, and help us to realize that this is a work that may take a month or 2 months, or like Judy said, a little bit longer for some people, a little bit shorter for some people. And just because of what you want to do with them in the future, or just because where they've been through in their past, God, and whatever it is, we're just here. We're here for you to do your work, God, because we want revival so bad. We'll do whatever it takes. We'll do whatever it takes, Father. So do whatever you have to do. Do whatever you have to do in us, God. If it's picking up these issues from our childhood, God, we know that we can trust you with them. We know that we can give them to you and you can heal us. Father, and I just pray for just such a bond between us that we would be able to love each other, that it would be such a witness and a testimony to this city. Gosh, when the city of Lorain sees such love, Father, they'll pour in to this place. They'll pour into this place looking for this love, God. So I pray that I would just show your glory off in every relationship, every person I come in contact with, God. I pray, Father, that it would first start in our homes, with our husbands, with our wives, with our children. God, that we would be so careful to protect honor in our families. That we'd be so careful, God, to honor you. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. I pray that it changes our lives. I pray that you would bless everyone as they leave tonight. Let no accidents, no mishaps. Let your angels go with each one of us back to our homes, God. And I thank you, Father, for your presence most of all. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Oh, the offering. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Yes, and I was going to do that with the announcements, but I don't know, I forgot. So I'm sorry. Do you want to give? Let's give tonight. If nothing else, we have so many people that need help. There's so many people that need help, and we want to help them. We do. But there's also such a mandate. Yeah, we'll give at the door. There's such a mandate to establish his kingdom. And it costs money. It just costs money. So thank you for your love for this house. And thank you for being my family. Thank you. Love you all.